Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, welcome to another Norman at Night. We're coming to you a little later than usual tonight, but we are still coming to you from the Plains, Virginia. We got another couple of months at this venue. We are going to be moving the time for Norman at Night. It was a little bit hard to get on the air tonight at the normal time of 11 o'clock. I am going to try to move the show to 6 o'clock Eastern time or Eastern Daylight Time, or maybe keep it at 11. We're going to be discussing that later this week. But I just wanted to get a show on. We're only going to be on here for about 15 minutes tonight. We do have a chat room open if you want to come in. And, hey, we got guest 39164. Good to see you. Welcome to the Norman Knight Show. I put a little thing in the and that's sort of going to be the topic of the show tonight. The top 1% have the best houses, the best educations, the best doctors, the best lifestyles. But there's one thing that money doesn't seem to have bought: an understanding that their fate is bound up with how the other 99% live. Folks, we're borrowing money because we don't pay taxes. That's why the government's borrowing money. Doesn't get any simpler than that. All this budget nonsense. You know what? Let's take away health care. Let's take away Social Security. How about, instead of that rant, how about we raise taxes? How about we don't spend money on the Pentagon? How about the rich pay their fair share? Yeah, maybe it is class war politics. But being recently being put out on the street, don't you dare tell me that losing your job's not class warfare. Because it is, baby, it is. Let me see if I got any callers coming into the show. Hey, yeah, there we go. You're on with Norm. Go ahead. What just happened there? What is going on? You're on with Norm. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem, Norm.
we're having a lot of trouble tonight.
Yeah. When I went to the website and it said that you only had 13 minutes left, and now I don't know what the hell's going on with that, but. Anyway,
because I went to 11:30, I only took a 15-minute show.
Oh, okay. So we'll just do whatever, and, you know. But
yeah, 11:45, we're going to be calling it a night. But I got some activity in the chat room.
Oh, well, see, I'm outside on the patio, so I can't see my screen.
Oh, all right, 39. I got a guest in the chat room. I put my Well, I'm going to just read the whole quote here. The top 1% have the best houses, the best educations, the best doctors, the best lifestyles. But there's one thing that money doesn't seem to have bought, an understanding that their fate is bound up with how the other 99% live. Throughout history, this is something that the top 1% eventually do learn, but too late.
Yeah, I think you'd probably get some support from the Romanov family.
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
The Bourbons in France.
Oh, there's a few of them. General Batista.
Much argument.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, it's difficult to disagree with that statement. The one thing I've always thought is that one of the most important things we can do economically is maintain a strong civil class, middle class.
Oh, no question about it. That's why you've got to keep unions around.
And, well, no, the reason for this middle class is just to keep the poor and the rich away from each other.
Oh, gosh.
And I learned that a long time ago. In fact, when I was in Germany, both a Christian Democrat and a socialist both agreed with that statement. In fact, they said it. They said, this is why we keep a strong middle class. We'll never have another revolution as long as we do, or another Hitler or whatever, you know. So, there's a lot of support for that.
Hey, do you know, actually, now that we're talking about Germany, two things. The girl with the something tattoo, what a great novel it is. I'm reading it. Stieg Larsson. It's a great novel. It's full of Nazis. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, didn't that come out in film? Or is it?
Well, it's going to, I think, next December it's going to be released.
Oh, okay. I heard, something about that. Yeah.
Mm. Well, there is a Swedish version of it out, but there's an English, another make of it that's going to be in English. And the old man, I think, being played by Max van Stoden. But anyway, but I was reading this evening, chess is such an interesting collection of people. And I was reading about Bobby Fischer.
Oh, yes, yes.
Because what's his name? Frank Brady just wrote a new biography of it.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's very good. It's really very interesting. He's the same guy that wrote Profile of a Prodigy.
Well, you know, as I think of it, if it hadn't been for Brady Fisher or Bobby Fischer, I probably wouldn't ever met you or Thrush or Talmadge or anybody.
You know what? There's
because
said,
that's the only thing that brought me into chess, you know. I mean,
well, in 1956, he went on this grand tour all over the Southwest or the Southeast of the United States, and they went to Cuba. And the guy who organized this trip was this eccentric wacko from the Manhattan Chess Club.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Nazi.
Oh.
And he wore his paraphernalia.
Oh, man.
He wore flips at his... And he was... Fisher's mother went on the trip, too.
amazing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have my... wait a minute, I do have my Kindle. Uh-oh, I hear dogs. Are they coming after your cat?
No, it's on the other side of the fence. It's a very lonely dog that just doesn't have what to do but bark.
Well, I got a few minutes left. I got to find this guy's name. Because I'm thinking to myself, only in chess. And then I'm thinking
you mean of Germans that emigrated that we knew? Well, one was Albert Strassen. He was an engineer in Nazi Germany.
Like that big, tall, thin, white-haired guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about Benny?
I don't remember his story.
You don't remember Benny do anything to keep his nights? He gave me Benny Bendrewski.
Yeah, yeah, I remember him, sure.
He was a Russian.
Yeah. Yeah, it was we had an interesting collection of people there, you know. But chess clubs will do that. Well, even Fischer himself, I mean, now wasn't he Jewish, but he became an anti-Semite?
Well, his mother was Jewish.
But that means the lineage is, you know.
This guy's name was Laut.
Yeah, yeah.
I got just a few. I'm trying to find out what his first name was. His father was becoming more involved in the world of chess. He attracted the attention of a wealthy and unusual man named E. Borey Laut. A chess player himself, Laut liked to surround himself with other players, many of them offbeat and highly talented. He was always generous to Regina in assisting Bobby with small amounts of money. During the spring of 1956, Lauch gathered a group of chess players for a 3,500-mile motor trip throughout the southern United States and ultimately to Cuba.
Mm.
Stopping off at towns and cities to play at the local chess clubs. Regina allowed Bobby to withdraw from school to go on this trip. She agreed to Bobby's participation only if she could go along. Laux didn't know or care that Regina, and therefore Bobby, was Jewish. Nor did Regina seem too concerned about Laux's neo-Nazi, someone called him an old Nazi, allegiance. Laux frequently wore a small black enameled lapel pin bearing a gold Nazi swastika. Amazingly, it never seemed to attract attention. He didn't wear it all the time, but often enough, and it didn't seem to inhibit him when he went to a Jewish delicatessen to get his favorite sandwich of pastrami on rye, or when he was talking to a Jewish chess player. One player, William Schneider, said he was embarrassed when he and Laux, sporting his swastika, were driving back from a tournament and they stopped at a Jewish restaurant. No one said anything about the swastika or seemed to even notice it. He also wore a small-brimmed alpine fedora and often wore lederhosen.
Oh, good God.
And for a few years, he sported a Hitlerian mustache. When he entered a tournament, he often dressed in a khaki shirt and pants, dark tie, displayed the mustache. He was the doppelganger of the Fuhrer.
Oh, Oh, Christ.
It is home. You have Nazi flags in prominent locations and displayed airplane models of Messerschmitts and Junkers, as well as an oil painting of Adolf Hitler and other memorabilia for the Third Reich. Utterly amazing.
Yeah. Well,
that would have gone along, actually, with some guy in Buffalo.
Yeah. Although, I have to say, when I would go to München for Oktoberfest, I mean, there were dozens of Hitlers walking around. They were all over the place.
Really?
And then as soon as you saw one, everyone would point, Hitler, Hitler, and then he'd salute. But, you know, you can go to New Orleans and you'll see Tennessee Williams lookalikes walking around, too. I don't know what it means. People need attention.
I guess.
But that's pretty strange. I mean... I can only think that's where all those ideas came from. I mean, that he came up with later in life, you know.
Well, he used to be... Well, he was 12 years old. And he used to go spend, you know, from noon till midnight at the Manhattan Chess Club.
Yeah.
There was all those wackos. And what the really scary thing is? Admittedly, I was like a ham, but I recognized these names. I knew some of these people.
Well, yeah, I mean, knowing what I know about chess, it's like if you grew up in that environment, you know, it would have to have a profound effect. even if you weren't surrounded with those people, just the playing nothing but chess, you know, if that's your life's passion, and it consumes half your day. I can remember driving home from chess tournaments and getting home and trying to go to sleep and still seeing the chessboard. You close your eyes and you still see the chessboard. It's just like driving on the highway for 8 hours. And then when you get to the motel and you go to sleep, you see the highway, you know.
By the way, just for the record, Norman Knight is over the 25,000 listener mark. We came in this week with 25,571.
I made a point of downloading. In fact, yesterday I downloaded. So I'm within, well, obviously there were 500 other people who did the same thing. So so you're over 25,000.
Yeah, now I guess the next step's 30,000.
Yeah. Well,
I might have to like start begging on the show and see if people send me money since I have no job.
Oh, okay. Well, you not till June, right? June 30th or something.
Well, June 30th. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've sent away for a peddler's license to the state of Maryland.
A peddler?
Yeah, so I can push a popcorn cart.
Ah, good God! Can't you just be like a sole proprietor? It sounds better.
No, but you got to have a peddler's license to do this.
Oh, well, to push popcorn. You aren't going to sell popcorn.
Why not?
You should be like a tutor or something of that sort.
Oh, well, we'll figure something out.
An out-of-the-box tutor. I don't know.
I got more resumes out. Well, you know, I just figured something. Well, it hit me today. I just hate school.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Yeah, there must be many other schools around there. I mean, even, I hate to suggest it, parochial schools.
I was in one of those for 4 years. But, you know, when it comes to eating, it's amazing the things you can do. Now, I got 1,000 resumes out. I'm going to this headhunter thing on Friday.
Oh, okay, cool.
then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, if they can find you, you know, a nice solid position with a good pay scale, hey, that's... I mean, I know how much it costs. They charge a fortune for that stuff, but still.
You know, as long as it pays more than unemployment, I'm happy.
Now you have a master's, right?
Two of them.
But now that means you could teach at like a community college, you know,
I got some of those applications out too.
Yeah, because that would be, I think that would probably be more interesting, more challenging for you. But you know, I don't.
We'll see.
So I don't know.
Anyway, what I really need to do is. So we're going to end this Norm at Night tonight. I am sorry it went on till 11:30, but we'll be back next week. Watch Facebook and Twitter for the details.
Oh, I certainly will.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Carl.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Good night.
Bye-bye.